Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have a friend in me till the end. Whatever I can, I'll do for you.
Well, welcome to Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, calling to you live from Biloxi, Mississippi, here on Tuesday at the noon Eastern time, as I do every Tuesday. Right now, we're en route from Las Vegas to Naples, Florida, actually Bonita Springs, Florida. Hope to land there tomorrow, just in time for Christmas. Today, Jennifer, my assistant, Jennifer Carter, and I have a wonderful show for you. We want to talk a little bit today about, you got all these great relationships, now what do you do with them? And one of the best ways to use all of the relationships that you've been building based on all of the great tips you've gotten from the show is to use them for joint ventures. Jennifer, are you there with me today?
I sure am, Gina. I sure am, and I'm so excited about today's show.
Well, I am too. As you know, it's something we've been dealing with for about 10 weeks or so, I think, in your apprenticeship group. I think that's about the right time span. And you've just started dabbling in joint ventures yourself. So as you've learned, joint ventures are really powerful. It's a matter of really getting to know how to use them and what to do and wrap your head around it and kind of think outside the box to think about the possibilities.
It is. And, Gina, maybe as we go into today's show, we can set the premise of a few different ways in which people would be using the joint ventures and why they would need them, how it can help people on both sides. I'm so excited for people who are listening today who've not done much in terms of internet marketing, because people in all kinds of different situations can really benefit from this. And I keep telling a lot of my clients, hey, you've got to go listen to the social marketing, the relationship marketing show, and you've got to go to IM University. But people don't know what to do until they get there. They don't know that if they have a product, that's where they can go to get people to help sell it. And if they don't have, but they've got a list, or they've got a niche, or this is where they go to find people who have what they don't have. So that's what today is about. It's finding people who have the pieces that they're currently missing in their business, joining with them, and creating a profitable venture.
Precisely. And joint ventures at their most basic level are nothing more than the coming together of two or more people or entities, in other words, people or businesses, to achieve some common goal or purpose. If we look outside of the business world and look, let's say you've got children and your children need to get to school. So you work with another mom and the two of you get together and you put together a carpool. And one agrees to drive on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. The other one agrees to drive on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, guess what? That's a joint venture. That's what we're talking about. It's that kind of thing.
Great analogy.
Example.
Mission is accomplished.
Yeah, and the key there is you've got this common purpose, and you're coming together to achieve it in some mutually satisfactory way. You both get something out of it. And that's what makes it a joint venture. You both get something out of it. So when we take that concept and apply it into businesses, when we're talking about joint ventures, we're talking about arranging something that has a win-win-win proposition. And there's really three wins in any joint ventures. It's a win for the one person who's organizing it, a win for the partner that comes into it, and a win for the customer. That win for the customer is so important, because oftentimes it's the win for the customer that causes the other partner to want to do this in the first place. It's not a big enough win for him. It's just the win for the customer that makes him want to do it. when we're talking about entrepreneurs coming together to achieve some common purpose, normally what happens is somebody's just set up a business and they've got a product and they want to promote that product, so they're going out looking for people who are going to come in and help them promote it. And they think that offering a commission on their sales is enough to get somebody to want to promote it with them. But if you really sat down and thought about that, you'd realize that that's really not a very big win. You're talking to people who already have their own business, which means they already know how to make money. They already have money. Why do they need you to help them get more money? They don't. So just giving them an opportunity to sell your stuff and make a commission usually isn't enough to build that win for the other party. You've really got to think outside the box to figure out what will be a big enough win to allow that other person to come in and say, yeah, I absolutely want to do this. Absolutely. So what can you use joint ventures to achieve? Literally, you can use joint ventures to get any asset you need in your business. You need a list? Use a joint venture. Need a product? Use a joint venture. Need traffic? Use a joint venture. Need sales? Use a joint venture. Any combination of assets that you need in your business, you can use joint ventures to achieve. The more creative you are about how you want to structure it and what kind of joint venture to use, almost always the bigger the result. So really think outside the box. Joint ventures can really help you to kickstart any business quickly. When I'm teaching my apprenticeship program, my students get started first in blogging so that they can use their blog as the vehicle for building relationships with their audience. But they can only drive so much traffic on their own when they're starting from scratch and they've got no list, no traffic. And this is their first website. So once we get that blog set up, once we get the whole magic formula for writing a powerful post down, we got the whole six-step process working every day to drive traffic. The very next place we go is into joint ventures and strategic alliances so that we can then use the joint venture to help kickstart what's going on in the blog. You can use a joint venture to help build a list really quickly. Usually you can get 500 to 1,000 people on a list in a week or two so that you can kickstart what's going on that blog. And once you do that joint venture, now sales start happening on a consistent basis. So that combination of doing the other things that build relationships out on your blog and a joint venture can cause you to get to a point where you're really making a four-figure monthly income every month, the very first month you do that joint venture. And it's not unheard of for you to be able to get to a five-figure monthly income right from the start, depending upon how much effort you put into the joint venture and how much time you spend building relationships to allow the joint venture to happen. If you can really go out and do that, build those relationships and get a creative joint venture going, you really will be at a five-figure income that very first month, and you should just run from there. So that's what you're kind of in the process of doing right now, right, Jennifer?
Absolutely. And you said something a minute ago, Gina, that I know in the past certainly would have me saying, now, what are you talking about? And I know people who are newish in internet marketing, and I'll put myself in that category as well. What you said, that people who are just getting started, you can get a large list of, you put a figure out there of like 1,000 or 5,000 or something like that.
500 to 1,000.
500 to 1,000, that was the number. Okay, but a pretty big number for people who've been getting, you know, maybe one or two people names on their list a week. That's a huge jump. And without, now we're not talking about going out and buying names, because that never works, at least in my experience.
It certainly doesn't.
Okay, so I'm not so sure people know how that can happen, and that's a little bit, what do you mean, how can I get 500 to 1,000 people in a week or a month? I'd like to back up, and let's say we're brand new. We've not been on the internet before, and we'd like to do a joint venture. We've kind of have some kind of a product, maybe a home study course, a book we've written, maybe a course, a seminar, or something like that, and we need help promoting that, and building a list of starting with 500 to 1,000 people is just the kickstart we need. How in the world do we get that going, especially if, here's the other thing that you said earlier, especially if offering a commission to somebody else who has a list isn't the only thing that's going to want them to be interested. If they're not going to be interested in that, what else could they possibly be interested in? And somebody who's newish in internet marketing, where they might want to joint venture with them.
So I wouldn't make my first joint venture a joint venture to promote my product. I would make my first joint venture a list building joint venture, kind of a hybrid of a list builder and a traffic generator. So what most of my students end up doing is going out, finding other people who have a similar audience, who already have a list, who already have traffic. They don't have to be in the same niche. They need to have the same audience. Very right. Different concept, okay? So go out, find a group of maybe 15 to 20 of these people who have a list, who have traffic, who each agree to both give a gift and to take two emails from each of the other participants and put that, or to give you two emails for whatever they're doing. So what you're going to do is you're going to set up an autoresponder. If you've got, let's just use round numbers, 20 people. Each one of them are going to give you their gift. They're going to give you two autoresponder letters. You're going to set up an autoresponder that has all 40 letters, plus two of your own. You're going to rotate through them so that over a period of, say, 20 days, people can come to your site and get gifts. Or a period of a week, you do it, you know, a couple gifts a day. For each gift that people get, they've got to opt into a list. And as soon as they get that gift, they then start receiving the autoresponder letters that you've got set up so that it follows up on that gift that they just downloaded. What gets people interested in doing this is it's not about them selling your product. It's about them growing their list and about them selling their own product. You're not trying to help them make more money. You're trying to help them make sales of their own stuff. Hugely, hugely different. They all have to agree to promote this for whatever the period of time is that you're running it, 20 days, 7 days, doesn't matter. But whatever that time period is, they've got to all agree to promote it. So they use their list, their traffic. Since everybody's coming in to get this through you, they've got to first subscribe to your list, which triggers the set of 40 autoresponder letters that then gives them the instructions to go and get the gift. And when they go to get the gift, they've got to subscribe a second time, which puts them out onto those people's list one at a time. That is a really, really powerful technique to use. If you look at buzzongambling.com, B-U-Z-Z on gambling.com. It's one of my former apprentices, Craig Blair, who is now coaching the IM University. Back in October of 2007, he put that blog up. November, he decided to do this joint venture that brought together 20 people who all had a similar audience. The audience was people interested in gambling of some sort, whether it was sports betting or playing baccarat or playing poker or some sort of betting and making money on it. He did this exact technique. He put together a series of gifts, one from each of the participants. Each of the participants gave him two autoresponder letters. He got everyone to opt into his list. They then got instructions to go and get the gift. To get each gift, they opted into the other people's list. Well, that he ran it over a 10-day period. Over that 10-day period, he put in a little over 510 people onto his list. When he started, he had zero. Well, he probably had three or four, but for all intents and purposes, zero. That list of a little over 500 made him $4,800 in the month of November. And that has been his smallest month yet. Now he really didn't work from June until probably December, maybe 10 hours a month. And he was still making five-figure monthly incomes, still getting 1,200 to 1,500 unique visitors a day to the blog. That's enormous. And it was all because of that one list-building joint venture way back when that it is allowing him to see that level of success today. So that's the kind of joint venture we're talking about, Jennifer.
Okay, now, Gina, that is huge for somebody getting started. Listening to those numbers, it gets me excited. And somebody like yourself who's been on for a while, perhaps not, but that is like the golden egg, the first step for people trying to make it online.
Absolutely.
Gina, if you would, let's back up and explain a few things, because these are the kinds of questions I get when I'm trying to show this to other people. So when you say giving gifts in a promotion, you go out and find 15 to 20 people who want to join on this list building venture. Does this mean that I've got to, have a book I'm going to mail to somebody, home study course? What are examples of gifts that I can give and that I should expect or ask my JV partners to give?
Great question. A gift should be a digital product. That way there's no real cost involved with it. It can be any kind of a digital product. It can be a piece of software. It can be a chapter from a book. It can be a free report. It could even be something as simple as a mind map, a flow chart, or an Excel spreadsheet, something that is valuable to that audience. I have seen great giveaways that are nothing more than an Excel spreadsheet or a flow chart or a mind map. I have one that's called my Traffic Sources Worksheet that I give away all the time that people think I should sell for over $100. It's that valuable as a spreadsheet. So you can see it at www.askggg.com/traffic-sources. askggg.com/traffic-sources. I regularly give that out just to grow my list. I've seen other people use a mind map as the tool that they're giving away. You could do a teleconference and record it and give away the audio. It can literally be anything that's digital.
Okay, great. So anything that's digital. Now, and it has to have something to do
with
that audio.
I should say one other thing about that, though. You want your gift to lead your audience into your paid product. So it can be anything that's digital, but the better job it does of holding their hand and leading them right into your next product in your profit funnel, the more people are going to buy that product. And that's ultimately your goal, right? You're not just building a list. You're building a list for a reason, to sell your stuff. So you want to make sure that it ties it together topically, that really introduces that topic and leads them down that path to getting it.
Okay, so we're getting them started, and it's okay to use. Now, a lot of people out there also have a whole bunch of private label rights or resale rights products that they've collected from somewhere along the way, and those might be okay to use in something like this so long as it is geared towards that particular audience. It can't just be, it's got to be geared towards that audience, and it's got to be a first taste of more to come, in what you're going to be offering your audience.
I'm not thrilled about using resale rights products for this purpose. I don't mind. I really think PLR products, private label rights products, are a great thing to use. I don't like resale rights products only because they don't build your credibility as an expert. Can you use them? Yeah. but it, to me, because your name's not on it, it doesn't really create the same experience for your audience as having your name on the product.
Let's take a moment to explain the difference, because I don't think most people know what the difference between resale rights versus private label rights. What's the difference, and why use PLR but not resale rights?
Sure. So there's a whole slew of rights. There are resale rights, master resale rights, private label rights, and public domain rights. Resale rights means that someone created a product, they then allow you to resell it. However, you cannot make any changes to it. You don't have any ownership interest in the intellectual property behind that product. It's simply that you are allowed to resell it and keep 100% of the sales in your pocket. Master resale rights means that you're selling the product and you're letting your buyers sell the product to keep 100% of the commission. Then you've got private label rights. Private label rights means that once you open all the files, you're allowed to modify them. You're allowed to put your own name on them. You can make them sound different. You can make them look different. You can do anything you want and anything that you could do with your own product to start with. That's private label rights. As a result, private label rights, or PLRs, tend to be more expensive simply because you can do anything you want with them. And then you've got public domain. And public domain simply means that something is too old to be on, an intellectual property has had its copyright expire. That's a good way to describe it. So either it never had a copyright in the first place, and early on in intellectual property, that was possible. That's not possible any longer. Anything that's created automatically has a copyright on it. So either it didn't have one, or it has since expired. And so it's a matter of going out and finding those items that have had their copyright expire. Typically, this is something that was authored prior to, like, 1966, I think, or 1962, something like that. So any one of those things is something that you can then use as a gift. So if you look at public domain, one of the best examples of a public domain product is Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. That is a product that has passed into the public domain. There are thousands and thousands of people who have now made it their business to really use public domain rights on that in order to make money for themselves. Ted Tsiuba, one of my good friends, is a guy who has made millions of dollars off of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. He's taken a chapter of Think and Grow Rich and given it away to build his list. He's had the whole book updated and refreshed and made it more modern and new, turned it into a physical best-selling book in the New York Times bestseller list, on Amazon's bestseller list, on Barnes & Noble's bestseller list. He took the whole concept and turned it into a board game, the whole thing, and turned it into a piece of software. He's created an entire product line all around a book in the public domain that he didn't even author. The new Think and Grow Rich, which is Ted's book, has his name on it, but his name is right alongside Napoleon Hill's. So when he gives away that chapter, his name is again right on it alongside Napoleon Hill's. That would be a really strong giveaway, because you're essentially borrowing on Napoleon Hill's credibility to build your own. Whereas if you had a resale rights product or a master resale rights product, your name doesn't appear anywhere on that product. You're just giving away somebody else's thing. And usually from a relationship standpoint, unless someone really has a reason to know you and know that they got it from you, a week from now, they're probably going to think that they got it from the author, not from you. They're going to forget all about you. So it's important that you find a way to make sure that they remember that they got it from you if you're choosing to use something that doesn't have your own name on it. Does that help, Jennifer?
Yes. I'm here. Can you hear me
good.
Okay?
Yep. So does that help?
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. So great example. So like going back to your traffic resources worksheet, which, yes, is actually invaluable. It's ingenious. And I don't know what it took you to put it together. I think it was the knowledge and your experience that made it such a masterful but simple.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't put that together to make it into a giveaway or even for my curriculum. That's a real tool that I used to use when I brokered joint ventures for my clients. That's how I planned their traffic. So that's why it's so helpful. It came out of the real world. It's something that I really used for that purpose. And when people started asking me about my traffic system and I realized that people normally don't do this, I said, well, just look at my worksheet. And so I put it up one day just to share it with somebody I was talking to. And next thing I knew, I had like 50 clicks on my link. I'm like, well, how did they find out about it? Well, the person I had showed it to was raving about it to everybody he knew, who in turn were raving about it to everybody they knew. And so all of a sudden, it was kind of spreading all over the place. And I said, I should be capturing all those names. So that's when I started turning it into a tool that I could use for building my list.
Okay, well, it is invaluable, and actually I think you should mention it again because especially for people getting started, figuring out, okay, if I want 1,000 people on my list or if I want, you know, if I want 100 sales of this product or whatever it is, this Your Traffic Resources worksheet really does help somebody figure out realistically how to plan for getting that in. So to get that worksheet, they just need to go to askggg.com/traffic resources, correct?
Just traffic sources.
Traffic sources.
Traffic sources.
Okay.
So the way that it works is in the center section where you plan your goals. Inside that, you how much money you want to make. You tell it the price of your products and the conversions that you expect. It comes back and tells you two things. Number one, how many sales you need to get. Number two, how many visitors you need to get in order to reach your goal. At the top of that page, I've identified traffic types A through N. A traffic type is something like write one blog post, ping the search engines, and bookmark it at 6 bookmarking sites. And it tells you you'll get X number of visitors from doing that. Another one might be write one article syndicated to 100 article directories. You'll get this amount of traffic from that. At the bottom of the worksheet, you tell it how much of each traffic type you're willing to do. You might tell it 2 of traffic type B and 6 of traffic type D and 3 of traffic type G. And as you're telling it how much each one you're willing to do, it's constantly recalculating, telling you how many visitors you've got and how many visitors you still need in order to reach your goal. And you just put the whole plan together to make sure you've got enough traffic to reach your goals. Then you just go and do it.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And it's very simple. And the other thing that's really cool about that, so it's a great resource. So if you don't know how to plan your joint ventures, whoever's listening, go get that resource. Something else that I really like what you said about how it came into being was this. It was something you were already doing. It was advice you were essentially already giving out. You saw that it was valuable because people kept asking you for it. And what I want to bring attention to here is that everybody who's listening has lots of pieces of advice or things that they're doing or have been doing that are the same thing, something that they're especially good at and that all the time they're saying, oh, you just do this and this. And if you're out there and you have people asking you, hey, how did you do X, Y, or Z? And that's probably a valuable resource, something that people may want as a free giveaway or, you know, how to do that, whether it's an audio or an ebook or something that you make about how to do that.
And it's funny because the giveaway items that I have that build my list the fastest or that drive the most traffic are the items that are really from the real world or from real applications. They're not things that I built or created to build my list. They're things I was already using. When I just turned that around and turned it into something that I was using to build my list at the same time, it actually built my list faster. So you don't have to create something from scratch, is my point. Go and look at your area of expertise and what you do in practicing that expertise and find those little tools that you have that make it easier to do what it is that you do and give those things away. That's where it's really enormously valuable. And a lot of people are really concerned about giving those things away. They feel almost like, well, you know, I should be selling that. It's too valuable for me to be giving it away. That's an example of what I call a scarcity mindset. Eben Pagan talks often about the concept of moving the free line. You're really trying to move that free line. You want to give stuff that is so valuable that you could sell it. You don't want to give away crap. You don't want to give away half the story. You want to give away freely, give everything. What you then sell is an increased level of intimacy. And you sell the things that help people get bigger results, better results, or faster results. But you give away the core components to the system. So keep that in mind in creating whatever it is you're going to use to build your list through this joint venture. And you will get more subscribers than you could ever imagine.
Okay, now wait a minute. We're all here on this show here today listening and or on the IAMUniversity.com because we're good people, but we want to make money. So what do you mean we got to give away the good stuff? If we give away the good stuff, then what are we going to have to sell? Explain what you mean by take the good stuff and then sell a higher level of it.
So every business should have a complete profit funnel set up that has low-end products, mid-range products, and high-end products. You're going to keep your mid-range and high-end products for yourself. Your low-end products should really be inexpensive, not cheap. Inexpensive. They should be things that, like you look at any of my low-end products, like my 21 Days to Blogging Profits or Secrets of the JV Queen or Giveaway Secrets of the JV Queen or any of my low-end info products. They're all around $47. Some are as low as $27, even Abundant Info products. But every single one of them are not just an ebook. They're a whole course. They're all things that I could sell for a couple $100 a pop. So why am I settling for selling them for $47 or less? Well, it's because by selling them at that low price, it wows your audience so much that they start thinking to themselves, well, holy cow, if I'm able to get all of that for such a little amount, I wonder how much I'm going to get when I spend even more money. And it makes them more willing to spend more money with you. It's what you sell them is things to help them get bigger results, better results, faster results, or get your help in doing something, they will buy it much more often. So any of your low-end products, you need to be in a position that you don't care about making one red cent from them. Because you know they're going to move people to that next level. That's where you're going to make your money, is in that next level, not from your initial product. That way you can afford to take something that you'd otherwise sell for $47 and give it away. Mm. You really don't care because you know it moves people to the next level in the relationship.
your, you know, Gina, your 30-day challenge, for example, is a how to get started in relationship marketing, blogging, and how to have an internet business, something along those lines, right?
No, okay. It's both how to live the life of your dreams and do it by building a business that uses the power of the internet. It's a combination of the two.
Okay. I send people a lot who are trying to figure out how to get how to do those things because I was amazed. I know when I first went to it, it really does show from A to Z how to get started on the internet, how to build a list, how to use a blog, how to do joint ventures, how to do a whole lot of things. And it really is everything that people need to get started. And
yeah.
How much you charge for that?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's free, which blows my mind. However, let me ask you this. Now, are you doing well in business? Are you still in business even though you're giving away this 30-day challenge at the IM University?
My business is bigger than it's ever been because of the fact that this is a free course. It's funny because there's another marketer out there who has a 30-day challenge, and his 30-day challenge is $97. Over and over and over and over again, people come into my challenge and tell me, oh my goodness, I just put in a refund request for this other 30-day challenge that I paid $97 for because you're giving me 10 times as much information and yours is free. Well, that's my point. That's precisely my point. People are really putting in the refund requests over there. They're instead taking the money that they get back, coming over to my challenge. As they go through it, and I don't leave any steps out, but I do give you a lot of resources that you're going to have to buy that are going to help to save you time, save you money, or make you more money, or help you to get bigger results, better results, or faster results. So they're taking the money they get in the refund and coming and plunking it down on one of those things they can buy from within the free course. And they buy it in humongous numbers. 25% of the people who come in for buy something during that 30 days. That's huge. Nobody gets 25% of the people coming in for free to buy something. I do all the time.
Huge.
If they upgrade to my paid level in the challenge, which is a one-time fee of $14.95, then it's more like 60% of all of the paid members buy something else. So it's enormous, and that's what we're talking about here.
And again, from the let's say from a customer, because I'm a customer of yours as well as a mentee as well as all of these other things. One of the reasons that we keep coming back is you always over deliver, and I think that's becoming kind of a buzzword out there. You know, under promise and over deliver, and it's something you really need to do with your customers. However, I don't think it's something that's always necessarily taken seriously. And with the example of IM University, it's a beautiful model where you do absolutely that. We come to the 30-day challenge, we come to or any one of your low-end products, and we find out everything we need to know about whatever it is, you know, that product, free or not, says it will do. And then the tools that you offer as an upgrade or whatever really are that, about, okay, here's how to, you know how to do it now here's how to do it faster, or here's a tool that will help you do it you know, with less effort, or, you know, to multiply the profits quicker, whatever it is. But we always feel like we're getting more value. We're always like, yahoo, I can't believe I found this. This is, you know, an answer that we've been looking for forever. Because you've really thought about things from your customer's point of view. Those of us who are just starting out, as well as those of us who maybe have been around the business for a while but need some things to take an aspect of the business to the next level. The point being, you're always thinking about things from the customer's point of view. What do they need? What do they want? Okay, that's what I'm going to make for them.
Yes. And it's all outcome-based. I work everything from the outcome. So not just what outcome do I want. What outcome do I want them to have, too? I've got to contemplate both outcomes. So my outcome is usually, okay, what's the next product I'm going to sell? Ben Mack wrote a great book called Think Two Products Ahead. It's all about this exact concept. You've got to be planning two products ahead all the time. Otherwise, you don't know what your outcome is going to be. And once I know what my outcome is going to be, I say, okay, well, if that's my outcome and I'm going to create something around this topic, what should their outcome be? The more carefully you define the outcome for the customer, the more people are going to want what you've got to offer. I tested this in teleconferences, and it was a really, really interesting study. It wasn't very scientific, but what I saw was huge. I did 72 teleconferences in 30 days. During those 72 teleconferences, I was playing around with what worked, what got the highest conversions. From the teleconferences, every one of them, I sold tickets to my live event. Well, I wanted to see both what topics would get most people on the call, as well as what topics caused more conversions at the end of the call. What I found was, if I just looked at blogging as a topic, if I would put a call together and call it, say, driving traffic using a WordPress blog, or get 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors to your site every single day using your WordPress blog. The one that was talking about that specific outcome for the listener got almost 6 times more people onto a call. Conversions were more than 4 times higher from those people on that call. Now, the odd part was the content of the call was scripted. It was identical. Literally not one word changed. The only thing that changed was the title of the call. So it really kind of proved my point of it's really about having that specific outcome and getting your audience to see the specific outcome. People are always interested in wanting a specific result. They don't necessarily care about your topic. It's that result that they want. They want the solution to their problem. So you've got to be as crystal clear as you can in defining the solution for them, or they don't even know that that's the solution. So just saying, using a WordPress blog to drive traffic, they're like, huh? Whereas tell them, get an extra about 1,000 to 5,000 unique visitors every day. They know what that means.
Outcome-based. That's really interesting. You know, and it's funny that it was the exact same call, just you advertised it differently. Gina, I have a lot of clients who are real estate investors, and maybe they're putting on workshops or creating products around that. And the difference here, again, teaching exact same content, is one person might be advertising, let's say, a workshop saying, hey, learn how to invest in real estate. The other might say, learn how to buy and sell 6 homes within a year using none of your own money. And
yeah,
the content is going to be the same. Outcome-based. I can see a prize with the second one versus learning something generic about, like, investing in real estate. Interesting.
Exactly.
So outcome-based. In the title and okay, interesting.
And we went on to test it with other topics too. So we also did a call that was learn how to use eBay to build a list, or build a list of 30,000 in under 90 days selling info products on eBay. That one was even bigger in terms of the difference than the one on blogging. That one had more like 8 times more people on the call and almost 10 times higher conversions. Again, identical script, word for word. And people came on to both calls and didn't even know that they were the same call. They heard it different in their mind as soon as they heard the title of the call. And from that point on, nothing else was the same. And we had people attend both times and buy the product both times, even though it was the same product on both calls.
Well, let's talk about this then. How do we know what outcomes our customers want? Because now I have my reasons for coming into business, say, empowering women in business. You have your reasons for creating joint ventures, creating a business on the internet, all of the hundreds of thousands of things that you know how to do there. Everybody comes in with their topic area for their own reasons. How can we figure out what our customers want and then help them to get it?
Well, number of different things I want to say here. So first off, you've got to do your research carefully so that you really know your audience and know what their problems are. In doing that research, the answer to your question, what is it that people really want, should become apparent. You'll see it by analyzing your competition. You'll see it by hanging out in forums and watching what people are asking for. You'll see it by looking at keyword research to see what terms people are actually searching for. Now, that doesn't tell you what they're buying, but it does tell you what they want because they're searching for it. That's one way of going about doing it. Do the research and let the research tell you. Other way of doing it, find out what it is they want, is you tell them what they want. In telling them what they want, you've got to use stories that you know they'll resonate with to get them to really feel the pain of a particular problem. And you create the problem for them through that story and get them to take ownership of it. Now you're essentially defining the problem for them and making them feel like they have it. And now you can give them whatever solution you want to give them because you just created the problem within them.
You know, Gina, I think I have a perfect example of that. Somebody not knowing that they wanted it. I'll take myself as an example in blogging. Before I met you or came across you, blogging was something that to me meant people writing about themselves, the Daily Journal, and, well, that's nice, but what does it have business? I had no idea that blogging really could do much with and for business, and I certainly...
Is it Jennifer? I think we may have lost Jennifer. Uh-oh. Let's see if we can get her back. Well, I know we've got Ms. Carrie on the air with us today, and I see one other caller, too. So, Carrie, welcome to the show today. And who else do we have on the show with us today? Carrie, are you there?
Yep.
And who else do we have here? Can't tell what this number is. It says all ones.
Is that me, Gina?
That is you. That's Alan. Hey, Alan.
I don't know why it shows as all ones.
Neither do I. Are you calling in from Skype, maybe?
Yeah, but I have a Skype out number configured. It should be a 702 area code.
Yep, but it only Skype always shows either zeros and 1, 2, 3, a series of those, or all ones. I don't know why it just always does.
Okay.
So based on what we've been talking about, what are you guys thinking and feeling?
Well, I've been with you a long time, so a lot of it isn't new, but the way you put it together in this call is a little bit different angle on it. The JV giveaway, you had a call on that about a month ago, and it's nice to hear the example of Craig's JV giveaway. Give me a more solid foundation on what I can do with that.
Yeah, and it's a very different concept than just joint venture giveaways. So right now, being Christmas time, we've got all these JV giveaways going on. We've got 777selfhelpgifts.com and my Christmas greetings giveaway going on. And I think there's about 24 JV giveaways. And all of those sites use a script, and your gifts move up and down based on the number of people promoting, and there's typically hundreds of JV partners. It's a very different concept than what we're talking about here today. What I had suggested early on in the show and what Craig had done is not necessarily that formal of a giveaway. It's done on a little bit of a smaller scale. It's a more intimate relationship among the JV partners. A lot of people really have a bad taste in their mouth about JV giveaways if they're in the internet marketing niche, because it does grow a list that's incestuous. When you're not necessarily talking about doing the same kind of thing, it's related, but it's still different.
Now, this will bring you a more targeted list because everybody's giving away products in the same niche, and the customers...
They all have a similar audience.
Yeah.
Much more targeted list. So, usually, the people who are coming in to do this with you are sending their customers there. So a lot of the people that are going to show up on your list are going to end up being buyers already. And that right there makes your list that much more valuable right from the get-go.
Plus, they also already have an established relationship with the person that's referring them, and you have a closer connection to them, so you have a better relationship with them right from the start.
Exactly. And Carrie, I know you're actually looking at doing this kind of a joint venture for yourself right now. What is it that you're working on?
Yeah, actually, I have a joint venture that I'm starting to try to put together with a woman who has a really nice series of videos explaining patient care, and another woman who knows how to help people to set up a plan to deal with the psychological aspects as well as just the challenges of caregiving. And then my expertise is building health and solutions for heart failure.
Yeah, and so how are you doing your joint venture? What are you doing with it?
Well, and that's still kind of coming together, but we're the plan is to have a site where the caregiver resource lady and myself will be blogging and offering the product until that partner is paid out, unless she decides to stay on with us. And then the resource lady and I will continue to blog from that domain name.
So it's just a great example of another kind of a joint venture where you're pulling together people who have different assets to give. And you've got someone who already has a product. You've got two people who don't have products at all, you and the other woman. But you've got this area of expertise that the product creator doesn't have. The person who created the product is simply someone whose area of expertise is in information technology. In other words, she's an expert at creating info products. She's not necessarily an expert in the topic within the product. So there are so many different kinds of joint ventures that can come about simply by pulling together people with this different expertise. And I think that is really a great thing to look at, because in bringing together people with different areas of expertise, the sky's the limit in terms of what you can create. It's as big as your imagination. So that's the only limitation, is your imagination. The more you can imagine, the more you can achieve. Napoleon Hill said it best when he said, "What the mind of man can believe, man can achieve." And that's really true. In JVs especially, whatever you believe is something you can achieve. I see for you guys an enormous opportunity for an enormous business. Yes.
Yeah. Gina, you know what struck me when you guys were talking is we were blessed to hear Craig actually speak on your traffic weekend recently. And the thing that jumped out at me when he was speaking is that he attributed his success to first doing your program, you know, blogging daily and building that relationship and then doing the steps to drive the traffic to the blog. And then he called that joint venture what do they call it, like a boost or something that
yep.
that suddenly accelerated his business. But he credited the foundation that he had built with his great success.
Exactly. It would not, the JV by itself would not have become as successful for him had he not already been out there building a relationship with this audience and laying this foundation through his blog. And as these people came in, he then had his blog available as the vehicle that he used to build the relationship further. Without that relationship, what more than likely would have occurred is the same thing that happens from a typical JV giveaway. And that is, people come in, they get their gifts. As soon as they get their gifts, they unsubscribe and they go on their merry little way. He would not have ended up with more than 500 people on a list by 2 months from then. And yet, he had one of the lowest unsubscribe rates I'd ever seen. It was in part because of the relationship building he was doing on the blog, and in part because he also borrowed from some of the stuff that I've done in the past and used teleconferences, so that the first month that those people were in, not only were they hearing from him on a regular basis because he had these 40 emails he had to get out to them, he also did, I think, 6 teleconferences that first month just to help enhance that relationship further. Teleconferences are really unbelievably powerful when it comes to building the relationship out, because it's an increased level of intimacy that you just can't get in writing on the blog. And when people can really get on a phone call and hear your voice and then go back to your blog to read what you've got to say, that's when they start hearing your real voice in their head as they read your blog. So that combination is really what caused his success. I wouldn't say it was one thing or the other. It was really the culmination of all of it that allowed him to be as successful as he has been. And it's something that's very duplicatable, because Craig is simply one example of it. I have every student from his group had done similar things on their websites, and also had the blog, also had the joint venture. The only thing that was a little different was, I think Craig was the only one that did the teleconferences out of his group. But every one of them is seeing very similar levels of success. And it was a matter of laying that foundation to build the relationship. Without that relationship, none of this is going to turn into long-term success. It's going to turn into a list that's there today, and a couple weeks from now, everybody's already unsubscribed. Let's see if I can get Jennifer back on the call with us. Jennifer, is that you, or is that Alan again?
Hey, this is me, Dana, if you can hear me.
Hey!
Yeah, I'm so sorry about that.
That's okay. You kind of fell off mid-statement there before.
I heard that. I'm up in the mountains with the snow, and all of a sudden, yeah, I was talking to thin air, so. But I'm on a landline. Good work.
I didn't know. To be in the mountains in the winter, especially at Christmas time, it's the one day of the year I might even be able to tolerate snow.
For 1 or 2 days, it's absolutely beautiful. I agree.
So I've just been in the cold a little too long now, and I am dying to get out of it. Today is the day. By the time I get to where I'm going tonight, I'm told that the temperature will be in the 60s. I am so excited. I cannot wait to get rid of my winter coat.
Isn't it wonderful we can live in the snow one day and the sun the next day? Especially.
Absolutely. We are in Biloxi, Mississippi at the moment. We stopped last night, and I didn't know that there were casinos here. And Bill says, "Hun, you know, there's casinos here in Biloxi, Mississippi. If you want to go have some fun while I go to sleep, you're more than welcome. I'll take you to a casino instead of a Cracker Barrel." So I'm like, well, shoot, I'll never turn down an offer like that. Get my free gas money for the day, no problem. So he brought me over to an area where it's like a casino row, and there's the IP casino, and there's the Boomtown casino. There's like six or seven casinos. So we caught a shuttle bus, and we went to one casino. I didn't do very well. I don't even think I broke even at that one. Then we left, and we went to this other casino, and I was doing a lot better there. I was probably up a little bit, made back what I had lost at the other place, plus a little, and was up maybe 40 or 50 bucks. Bill decided to come back to the RV. So I'm like, okay, well, you go back to the RV. I'm going to stay for a while. So I stayed for another half hour, 45 minutes, made 100 bucks. Said, okay, time to go home and go to bed. So I put my coat on. I've got this winter coat. I'm all bundled up because it's cold outside. And start heading out, and I see this machine that I love, and I'm like, oh, well, I'll just put $10 in it, and then I'll leave. I put my $20 bill in there. I start to play $10 of it. My third pull, I hit 2,700 quarters.
Oh, God. Hey, Gina, that's you. Now, I am not much of a gambler, but I have to say this on the air, and people should not try this at home because I think most people lose money gambling. But at one point, you shared with me that you have a system that
you do for everything
that causes you to always come out ahead overall. So because of your system with gambling, when your husband says, "Hey, honey, you want to put a few quarters in or whatever," you know you're going to come out ahead following your system, right?
Absolutely. In fact, from Vegas to Biloxi so far, I think we had 2 days that we didn't stop at casinos. So that's how we pay for the fuel. We pay for the fuel, not from what I make in my business, but just gambling because of the system.
That's really funny. You know what, Gina, the word system is actually really important here, and I want to talk about it for a moment because I was talking with somebody yesterday, a client of mine who does really well in his business. And he teaches people to become wealthy doing what it is that he does, and they're very successful. But people coming to him, he meets a lot of people. He speaks out in the seminar world, as you do, and different niche, though. And I asked him yesterday, I said, why is it that so many people are out there, you know, trying, all of these different ways to make money, whether it's in internet marketing, whether it's, you know, in real estate investing, stock market, whatever, and so few are actually making it. There's, you know, there's so many different good educational products out there on how to make money. And he said, well, Jennifer, the key is this. One, of course, there's discipline. You've got to be able to follow up on it. But two, and probably even just as, if not more important, is you've got to have a plan. You've got to have a system and a plan that works. You've got to be able to stick to that plan. And without that, you can try as many different things as you want, but it's going to be good money after bad and wasted time, wasted effort, and probably a lot of frustration unless you've got a good system to follow.
Most of the info products that are out there are about the tactics, not about the strategies, and they fail in terms of laying out a system. They simply have a bunch of disconnected tactics. So I really blame the failure of most people on all of the poorly made info products that are out there that fail to lay out that system in the first place.
It's kind of like I think people are getting different pieces of the puzzle, and those pieces are important pieces to making money, to having a business, etc. But unless you have all of the pieces, you don't have a clear picture of what you're supposed to do.
And more than all of the pieces, and the blueprint, the puzzle box,
See
how the pieces go together. You got to have more than just all of the pieces.
Exactly. Which is why learning the different pieces of social marketing and relationship marketing and building a business on the internet, it's important to know all of the pieces and have the system that that helps you to make it a success, which is one of the things.
And my system for joint ventures, for example, it works for so many different areas. You can use it if you're marketing to internet marketers. You can use it if you're marketing to people in the real estate niche. I had one woman use it in the offline world. She was a volunteer in an organization that helped homeless children. She bought my Secrets of the JV Queen info product. It's really a course. It's not just an ebook. And used it to help put together one of the most amazing joint ventures. What she did was she wanted to help these kids. She wanted to help 500 homeless children in Queens, New York. So it was Martin Luther King Day. She knew a lot of businesses would be closed because of that. So she got bus companies to donate buses to haul 500 kids around for a day, took the kids to beauty shops and barber shops to get their hair cut, then from the beauty shop and barber shop, take them to a department store where she was able to get each one of them a new outfit, then from the department store to five-star restaurants where the kids got a five-star gourmet lunch before being taken back by the buses. Well, because this was helping 500 homeless children, she just followed the process that I set out of setting up tools for people to use to promote the joint venture, and she was able to go out and get actual TV, radio, newspaper coverage. Every business that participated in it saw such an enormous, drastic change and increase in their overall business because of all of this publicity, that they started begging her to co-do it again. Within a matter of a couple of weeks, she had more than 500 businesses lined up for her to do this all over again. And it was really because of the system that she was able to do that. So this same system works equally well for offline stuff as it does for putting together a joint venture to promote an info product. You can use it for just about anything. It's a matter of figuring out what best way is to use my system.
Which I guess goes back to an example of your friend, and that's an amazing story. It created an amazing experience for the children, as well as, you're saying, for the businesses too. And she figured out what the win was for, you know, for her goal for the project, what the win was for the kids, what the win was for the JV partners, so to speak,
yep,
for the businesses, and put something together that made everybody extremely happy.
Precisely. And it's all about that win-win-win proposition. It was there in that case in big ways for all of them. So once you get that win-win-win down, it's easy to put the rest of the JV together.
Sometimes, this has been my experience, you know, when I've been, there's been somebody out there that I knew I wanted to work with, but I didn't quite know what I had to offer, what I could bring to the table, or what would be a win for them. Sometimes I found it out just by, sometimes you just have to approach them and say, look, I'm doing this thing, I've got this project or this proposal or this launch, whatever it is that we're doing, and I think that you could play a great role in it. I think it could benefit you. You know, here, let me tell you a little bit about it. Can you see how something like this could benefit from you? What are you looking to get out of your business or out of whatever it is you're doing these days? You know, what are your biggest focuses? What's your biggest goals? What do you need right now? And let's see if we can help you create that when you join in this venture or project or whatever. And then usually you can kind of start to figure out what wins those other JV partners are looking to get right now for their business or sometimes their personal life.
Yep. Absolutely. And if you get onto their newsletter list and really pay attention, read between the lines, look at what they're promoting. Are they only promoting their own products? Are they also promoting other products as an affiliate? If they're promoting other products as an affiliate, why these products? What's causing them to come into this joint venture? Or promote this particular affiliate product, or is it an affiliate product? Even go so far as to contact the people that they're promoting for and ask them, hey, what was it that got these people involved in the first place? Because usually there's a reason. Usually doesn't happen just by accident. And see if you can figure it out. Almost always paying attention to someone's newsletter for a period of a couple of weeks will give you a crystal clear picture into how to create that win for them. Almost always. It's a matter of really looking at it carefully, scrutinizing it, really sitting down thinking about it, going back to it a couple of times, and questioning it as much as you can. even goes so far as to contact other people that you know are already working with that person and find out more about them. You know, more often than not, the bigger JVs for me have all been people that I built relationships with first. I did not start out by going to these people saying, hey, let's do a joint venture. I started out with no agenda, contacting these people just to build a relationship. As I built that relationship, as I started getting to know them better, realizing what they were all about, what made them tick, that's when the joint ventures came to us, not the other way around. Look at the relationship I'm building with Daniel right now, Jennifer. Last week, Jennifer introduced me to someone by the name of Daniel who has this wonderful, wonderful WordPress platform that I cannot begin to tell you how excited I am about. And it turns out Daniel and I have so much in common. Yes, we share an interest in blogging, but it's so much more than that. We're both also attorneys. We both also want to make the world a better place to live. We're both really, really passionate about social education on the internet and the systems that you use for social education. We are both also very passionate about helping make the world a more peaceful place and helping each person on the planet to find peace for themselves. There's all of these things that we're learning about one another just as we're growing the relationship. And in terms of a joint venture, we're starting out small, knowing that we both want to build the relationship. So Daniel's doing things like letting me have special pricing on things for my apprentices and being willing to set up some special deals for the people that I refer and setting up his platform on my blog and doing all kinds of things, making modifications to his system to make it work more the way that my system works, doing things that he otherwise wouldn't do for somebody right off the street. And he's doing it because we want to build the relationship. We know that there's enough synergy there that it's worth our while to do some stuff for one another because we know down the road we're going to want to do something more. We don't know what that looks like yet. We're going to be patient and let it come to us. But we're sure, just in the short amount of time that we've spent talking to one another so far, that there's something there. And really, I think it was very perceptive on your part to realize that you needed to hook the two of us up. Because on its face, it probably looked to you like it was just going to be about this one little thing. But this is going to be a really big part of my life. Daniel and I have a feeling are going to become very close friends.
I'm really glad to hear that, and I really hope it's the case. One of the reasons I think that not just for the technical and experiential know-how that the two of you have that can complement your services, before you and Daniel spoke, Daniel, like you, has always been a person who's asked lots of questions. What does my customer need? What do they need? And as he started describing this product that he has, this platform that you and he are joining together on you know, to work together, it provided so many components in a very easy and plug-and-play way that I know not only myself, but a lot of my clients that I've worked with over the past, you know, couple of years or so, it was so difficult to do all of these things in the past, and he's made it easy and put it all in one place. And in the past, it would take lots of time, lots of money to do all of these little individual things that you're supposed to do to build a business online. And he really thought about this. He looked at everybody who was succeeding and those who weren't, and he said, and he was getting frustrated because it was so difficult for non-technical people to do all of these things. So he put it all in one place. And so you know him. He, like you, has made money in other places and could go on making lots of money with what he was doing, but his bigger goal was to, how can I make it easier for the world to not only market in one place, but I know you and he are talking about some charity, I don't know what to call them.
Blogging for Peace
Project. There you go. blogging. Okay, blogging for Peace Day. 10 million clicks for peace, right? You guys have bigger goals beyond just making money, helping people to make money. And so it's really building the synergy and the excitement and the energy, and just the goals are bigger than just making money, which makes the energy and the success of what you guys are doing grow infinitely bigger.
So the way that you make joint ventures work around that is have a sheet of goals that you want to achieve through joint ventures so that you've got it all down in writing. You know the kinds of things that you want to achieve, but you're not quite sure how you're going to achieve them. Once you've got that goals list, tuck it away somewhere so that you can see it every so often, but you're not actively doing anything to further it. You're going to go out and do some visualization about it to visualize what it's going to be like when you achieve those goals. But then you're going to shift gears, and you're not going to go out to necessarily further any one of those goals initially. Instead, you're going to go out and build relationships, and just build relationships for the sake of building relationships, but with the right people, the people that could help you further those goals somewhere down the road. And as you're building those relationships, as you're picking the people strategically based on what's on that goals list, now you go about just exploring the synergy and seeing who you resonate with and what things you've got in common and who's going to be the most likely candidate for building a long-term relationship with. And as you're doing that, if you're doing the visualization on what your outcome's going to be from these joint ventures in achieving those goals that you've got outlined, those JVs will come to you. And that's just so exciting, I think, because it really allows it all to get bigger. I'm so sorry, my husband's alarm keeps ringing. See if I can make it go off permanently. There we go. Because your JVs will get bigger as a result. And you'll probably see that you forgot a few goals on your list, and you can go back and kind of flesh them out. And there's joint ventures and there's strategic alliances. To me, joint ventures are short-term. Strategic alliances are more long-term relationships. As you're building these relationships, some will turn into joint ventures. Some will turn into strategic alliances. Some will not just be you and one other person, but will turn into you and three or five other people, because you find that as you're getting to know these different people, you've got something in common among you as a group, not just you and one other person. So you can now start doing the introductions. And you've just got to do it. It's a tough thing to explain because you're really doing it with the goals in mind, but not necessarily with the goals as the agenda. Does that make sense?
It does absolutely. It does absolutely, because the goals are, you know, sometimes tangible things, but I think we have the intangible that we're working towards as well. World peace, for example, which is, you know, one of your pet projects. It is an intangible thing, but it's one of the bigger goals that coincides with the tangible goals you and maybe some of your business partners may have of, you know, we want this many visitors, we want this many donations, this many sales, whatever. So I think it's also important to say, going back to our goals list, that our goals list shouldn't just be about, you know, I want this many people, this many customers in my database, I want to make this many sales, this much money. It also needs to be those other maybe more private or at least personal goals that are motivating. Why do we want customers? Why do we want money? Which
Yes. Is
things like, you know, I want more peace in the world. I want women and children empowered to not be, you know, on the other side of the world to have loans to have a business and a better life. It might be, I have children and I want to be able to spend time with them. It could be 100 different things, all of those personal things, because those are really what is motivating each and every one of us to want to have a business. It's not just we want money. We want to be able to do things with the money. We want, maybe we want the big houses and the travel, et cetera. But there's probably more to it than that as well, including, you know, the people we want to help. And when we put those other goals on the list as well, the thing that I've found often, and oftentimes surprisingly, is that I connect with people based on those other goals at first, things that I think that I used to think other people wouldn't really care about. So, for example, I used to think that people would only want to connect with me because it was going to somehow make them money. But what you said earlier in the call, I've been finding to be more true, which is this. There's usually other agendas, other things that people are more interested in. You know, empowering women, for example, is something that I thought, you know, well, who would be interested in that besides women? Well, I found a lot of men interested in that, surprisingly, because, you know, sometimes maybe their mother was stuck and they appreciate it. They saw their mom struggle for years, and now it's important for them to empower women. Or there's 100 different things that people can do. But when we put our bigger, non-tangible goals on there, on our goals list, as well as the tangible ones, I think that helps us to think bigger and connect with people in a bigger and stronger way when we are looking for those relationships to build.
And what you're really saying is you want to have both your personal and business goals all on the same goals list. It's not about one or the other. You can't separate you personally from you and your business. They are one and the same. They are two parts of the same whole. And if you're only including your personal goals or you're only including your business goals and you're not harmonizing the two, you're going to end up creating a business that doesn't make you happy in the end. Because more often than not, the whole reason you're doing this in the first place is because of those personal goals. And if you try to build it just to meet the business goals, you're going to find, well, yeah, I'm making the goals happen, and I'm achieving the things I set out to achieve. Why don't I feel like this is enough? Well, it's because you forgot to keep the business and the personal as being two parts of the same whole, and you treated them as separate. You've got to treat them as two parts of the same whole. So without doing that, you're going to get yourself into trouble. And I really think that both with the business and the personal goals, these are the goals that are like what I would call a bucket list. The long-term goals that are really high level, okay? You've got a number of different goals lists. You've got that bucket list kind of goals list. You've got your long-term goals, say 3 to 5 years out. Your mid-range goals, say 1 to 3 years out. And then your short-term goals, 1 day to 1 year. That is going to be all of your goals. You're going to have a subset of that, which is long-term goals that you can achieve through joint ventures, mid-range goals that you can achieve through joint ventures, and short-term goals that you can achieve through joint ventures. So you're going to go back through all of those goals and look at what things you might be able to use joint ventures to achieve. Again, think any asset. Any asset you need is something you can achieve through joint ventures. And that's the list, that subset that you're going to set aside and not necessarily use as an agenda for building these relationships. And it's funny that we came back to goal setting because this is a call that we weren't going to talk mindset on. We were talking joint ventures, but I think it really illustrates that mindset is a huge component in everything we do. And whether we're talking joint ventures, whether we're talking traffic, whether we're talking anything, we've got to keep that mindset component in mind, or you're not going to be able to achieve what it is you're trying to achieve.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? Keeping not only our own mindset in mind, as well as combining our personal goals with our business goals, the same is true with these people who may one day become our joint venture partners. They too have personal goals and bigger purpose goals, motivating their business goals. And so when we're connected and more aware of that and tuned into them and tuned into those goals as well, It's going to help guide not only our business relationship, but also, you know, the personal relationships that often develop alongside or oftentimes beforehand the business relationship. So, right, mindset and keeping the bigger purpose in mind that's motivating our businesses and our goals is really important. It is what keeps us going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Carrie, Ellen, any questions? Uh-oh, did we get them muted again? Nope, we got you guys on. Ah, Carrie, you muted again.
I had muted myself.
There you go. And you're unmuted, Carrie.
I got bumped off, so you always get muted when you come back in. But
I'm sorry.
It was screaming at me before you said it, the whole mindset thing, because I was also thinking, well, you said, you know, everybody teaches tactical rather than strategic, and I was also thinking that why people don't succeed is that the stress is on learning as opposed to applying. And then it really quick came up for me that what I'm seeing with, mastermind groups and classmates and so forth is that it's, I think, mindset is what keeps them stuck, you know, on the verge of that applying mode.
But it's so true.
Because it's mindset, yeah.
Absolutely.
And because excuses are tricky, too, yeah? Because, like, when you are, like, okay, you got your tactical, you got your blog presence, and now you're out there and you're trying to build relationships at a JV level rather than just with your prospect. And it's easy to see yourself, you know, making those contacts and having that exchange, and you're busy, you're working with your business, but you've let the rest fall away. And you know, because it is difficult to continue applying and continually be that voice of the expert and continue, you know, without, like you said, you know, if that was the, you know, somebody we just started dating, you know, if we didn't call them for a week or a month, God forbid, you know, they would think we didn't care. And so, while we're still, you know, trying to be that that strategic-minded business person, we can't leave our, you know, valued customer, you know, to think we don't care. So, you know, but we can easily create excuses that help us not see that that's what we're doing.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, we've got about 2 minutes here to wrap up things. Yes.
Yeah, I had a question. I understand where you're talking about building strategic relationships and going in without an agenda. I find that, you know, there's a lot of people that I've had relationships with that I've just let them fade away and the relationship isn't there anymore. What do you do to maintain your relationship? Do you have some system you use to keep in touch and to make sure that you further your relationship instead of letting it drift away?
Well, I will say this. I am awful at it. I should be better at it. And it's something that I don't think you can put too much emphasis on. I think that it really deserves a lot of focus, focused energy. So what I'm doing to continue my relationships is using little tools like Joint Venture Manager, which you can get at abundancegroup.com/Steve, I use to help keep notes, and I try on a monthly basis to at least get one email out to probably about 60 key people that I want to continue relationships with. What I should be using is a tool like Send Out Cards that would allow me to set things up so that I can maintain an ongoing relationship with people, but through snail mail, not just through email. And snail mail in a way that it sends them a card for their birthday or their anniversary or something along those lines, because it would really help to build that relationship a lot further. One of the masters of maintaining relationships is my friend Larry Benet. And if you go to Larry Benet, BENET.com, he talks about what he does on an ongoing basis to maintain relationships out on his blog. He's got some great suggestions and strategies. And I send out cards, I know, is one of his biggest tips. It's amazing because he never misses a birthday. Anyway, that's it for today. Everybody can stay for a second. That's it for today, and I will be back next Tuesday for Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio at noon Eastern. Okay, so for everybody else, go check out LarryBenet.com because Larry talks about how he uses send-out cards, what he does inside of send-out cards. He maintains his database of contacts within send-out cards so that it can be tied to things like birthday cards and Christmas cards and whatnot. And he uses the overall system as a tool, basically, for being able to build relationships on an ongoing basis. Any other questions, anybody?
Silence.
Yes. Well, thanks so much, everybody, for being here. And I will catch you guys in a day or two. Ellen, I know you and I have a call, what, in a half an hour?
And Gina, do we have no call today?
Yeah.
No, I think we do have a call today.
I thought we did too, but Tiffany told me that today's call was canceled, so I will get back and make sure that she's not confused.
Let me go check. Next week's call is canceled, but today's call is still on my calendar.
Yeah, I knew that.
Next week's is canceled.
Great, I'll make sure that maybe you should make sure everybody is
clear on
that.
I'm going to send a jot right now.
Great. And I loved the end of that show there, Gina. I was thinking that, just as you were talking that, I was thinking that by focusing so much on relationship building and the blog and, you know, making sure that I connect every day, it's made me better at the relationships in my life.
Oh, that's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it works. It works to benefit all the way around. Like you said, there's no disconnect. It's all a whole, your personal life, your business life. It's so cool.
Awesome. All right, we'll talk to you guys soon. If I don't talk to you before Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas.
Mele kalikimaka.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.